This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 366, I think. I actually didn't do a podcast last week because I did two in a row because I wasn't sure how the seven-year podcast was going to turn out, but turns out we did it, even if we did forget to push the button. But I thought it went fine all in all. We added some mystery to the equation. There was something. What was that that I was going to talk about? I could tell them the story later, I decided. I don't know what it was. Oh, it's been a wild couple of little weeks here. Finishing up on the cover, and then this week was spent getting all the beta readers together. We have a full list of beta readers this time. Yay! Actually, have like 41 beta readers at this point, and so got all those books sent out today. Plus, I have one beta reader who gets a PDF, so that's the reason I have 41, because I only order 40 books. But getting that, rushing around and doing all that, what was that story that I didn't tell them? I don't know what it was. And so last night was the pack up all the books and get them ready to mail and hand deliver, get the stack ready for the hand deliveries this morning. And so I got in bed late last night, so I'm actually a little blessed. And of course it was Wednesday, so Wednesday is my fast day. And so it was... When I was looking around for something to do the podcast on last night, I was not firing on all cylinders. And finally I thought, you know what? We're just gonna wing it tomorrow. And then my wife called, and her dad had been working on a desk for her. And so we went and loaded the desk. I think we kind of gixed up the back a little bit, but you know, it'll be fine. So we were trying to get it loaded. Got that loaded, which means I'm actually driving back from Maranatha Village as opposed to driving back from business. So that's why this is actually going to be a little shorter than normal. But that's okay because I don't have much to talk about. So, you know, it's funny. It's funny whenever I do one of the big yearly podcasts where it's like 7 years worth of podcasts. After I do that, getting back into the swing of it right after that is always a little challenging because the flesh just keeps telling me, oh, you could be done now. You could be done. You've done 7 years. Come on. You could be done. No one listens to these things anyway. And I tell myself, well, I'm not really doing it for people to listen to. I'm doing it to sort of document what's going on in my life. Maybe the grandkids will be interested in hearing that someday. Maybe not. Doesn't really matter. But then after, you know, a week or two, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, two or three podcasts in, it's like, sure, let's go for another year. I did have an interesting promise from my son-in-law during the 7 years worth of podcast. And the interesting promise was that after I die, he would listen to all the podcasts. And I said, buddy, I said, I'm probably going to live to be 90. And with the way it's going, there's a good chance I'm still going to be doing these. So I was trying to figure out, I started the podcast in 2009, March of 2009, and at that time, I would have been 51 years old. Well, no, at that time, I would have been 50 still, because I turned 50 in 2008 in November, so in March of 2009, I would have been 50. If I'm going to live to be 90, that's 40 years. So potentially, that's 2,000 podcasts. So he claims he'll just listen to one a day and he'll listen to all of them. So, he will have been listening as of today. This is episode 366. As of today, he will have been listening to a podcast a day for an entire year and a day. So, unless it's leap year. So it just depends when I die. But then he will have to go on for, because at 2,000 podcasts, if you watch, if you listen to one a day for 365 days approximate, you're still going to have, what, about 6 years worth of listening to podcasts. You know, that may be reason enough. That may be reason enough to keep doing this. Just to see if my beloved son-in-law can actually listen to all 2,000 podcasts. 40 years worth of podcasts. That would be what? 4 times 52? Be 2,080 podcasts. Man, that's a lot of podcasts. And it will also justify the fact that I have... Have I? Oh, I may have a problem. Oh, because when I... My naming convention is driving home dash... Oh, I think I put 4 digits in there. Okay, good, because it's like 0001, I think. Because then we'll be okay. I can get into the thousands. Woo! That's a relief. Anyways, as I said, got the book finished up. And actually, most of my people are going to have it delivered to them on April 1st, which was my target, which didn't seem possible at several points during this whole thing. And in fact, would not have been possible had I not taken the writing vacation. Just not possible. Because that week when I took that writing vacation, I plowed through 25,000 words or so. And that 25,000 words would have taken me, as opposed to 1 week, would have easily taken me 3 weeks. So, 3 good hard weeks. So, I would have still been 2 weeks out. So, I'm pretty happy about the fact that we hit this deadline. I probably will have some beta readers who won't have their books until Saturday as opposed to tomorrow, but that's okay. You know, one day off, I don't feel bad about that. So it was good. It was good. It was really surprising to me that when I first ordered the books, I thought they were going to be in next week because that was what the initial delivery estimate was. And then all of a sudden, I got a note that said, they're shipped. It's like, woo-hoo. And, frankly, I'm pretty happy with the cover. How the cover turned out. Even after it was printed, I'm pretty happy with the cover. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with the book. Now, we'll see what the beta readers have to say. But all in all, I'm pretty happy with the book. I felt like I said what I needed to say. And I'm interested in getting on to the next one. I've already started percolating with ideas on that one, and I think I know how the opening is going to start on it, and I know kind of what some of the major stories are going to be, so I think that's going to be fine. And I'm very interested in the fact, I think I mentioned this last time, maybe? Can't remember. It was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. If I did, sorry for the repeat. I'm very interested that the next line of the poem is the blood-dimmed tide is loosed. And I'm going to do like a refugee crisis thing in this next book. So I thought, oh, that went wrong with it. It was interesting because Sunday was Easter, obviously. And we were over at my wife's in-law's house. No, wait. My in-law's house. My wife's parents' house. We were over there, everybody was over, and we were just having a few snacky things and, you know, just talking and that kind of stuff. Easter afternoon. And it was interesting because I was chatting with my beloved son-in-law And so I was talking about the blood dim tide is loosed and the refugee crisis. And he said, okay, so what's the parable going to be then in this one? And I said, the wheat and the tares. And he kind of paused and he went, oh yeah, that'll be a good one. Because the parable of the wheat and tares is, to me, just one of those fascinating parables that we know exactly what it means. Because after Jesus gave it, the disciples came up to Jesus and they said, okay, so what does that mean? Because they were a little confused. I'm not sure they were really confused, or they just didn't want to. They just didn't want to really hear what Jesus was saying. But for the moment, we'll say they were really confused. So, you know, they come up to him and they say, okay, so what's this one about? And he gives them line by line, point by point, and he tells them exactly what it's about. And even though we know exactly what the parable of the wheat and tares is about, we go, and then we turn our faces and just walk away. Because Jesus said, you know, God sows good seed into the world, into the field. And the enemy comes in, sows bad seed. But the landowner, when his servants realize what has happened, and they come and they say, oh, should we go in and shall we pull up the tares? And Jesus says, the landowner says, no, don't do that, because in the process of pulling up the tares, you may damage the wheat. In other words, he's saying, just let everything grow together. That's not really the way we approach Christianity. We don't want everything to kind of grow together. We, especially among mixed companies, you know, the good and the bad. And yet, straight up, that's what Jesus says. Our tendency, very quickly, is to segregate or behave in such a way that causes people to want to segregate from us. And so the wheat and the tares is going to be really fascinating. And like this whole refugee crisis and possibility of lots of Muslims, hundreds and thousands of Muslims coming into the nation. Boy, there are people up in arms. No, we don't want that seed here, which people would consider, not me, but would consider bad seed. And honestly, I fully expect that some would be bad seed, just like I fully understand that in the United States of America, there's good seed and bad seed. So it's not like letting the Muslims in is suddenly going to mean that we're going to have bad seed and they're the only reason we have bad seed. We already have bad seed here. So it's really... I'm interested to see what comes of this, because frankly, there's some of this I haven't gotten figured out in my own head. And sometimes I just need to write it. I write it and put it down. And in the process of putting it down and seeing it on paper, then I think, oh, that's what I want to say. And then I go back and redo it. So there's one attitude in particular that I haven't really figured out. Yeah, it has to do with McDuff and leading the tactical teams and how he responds to certain circumstances. And I just flat don't know yet how he's going to respond. There is a really cool cloud formation in front of me. We're kind of clouded over because it feels like it's going to start raining here. And then in the midst of that kind of cloudy shell, although we've got a lot of cumulus, they're hanging pretty low, we have these outcroppings that are just clumps, and they're all in a row in front of me. So there's like a small one right next to a larger one, and then there's a gap and a bigger one, then a gap and a bigger one, then a gap and a bigger one. You know, you usually see things randomly, but they are making like a straight line. Cool stuff. Anyways, so starting the next one. And I think I kind of know where I'm going, and I think it's going to be fun, and we'll just sort of see how this works. This is number 5 that I'm starting, and we'll see if I can fill up another 400 pages. this is a challenge. But man, there's a lot of space to write. I'm almost home, but a couple of little things of note that I thought were interesting this week. The podcast last week, wink, wink, which I actually recorded 2 weeks ago, was on Jennifer Garner's and Ben Affleck's marriage. It's interesting. I saw Jennifer Garner on the Tonight Show clip where she was talking about her dress going to the Oscars. And I'm sure you're aware that, in fact, everything that's talked about on late night, everybody knows exactly who's going to talk about what. There may be some ad-libbing here or there, but it's agreed upon beforehand what they're going to talk to. So, you know, Jennifer Garner knew she was going to talk about this, and her people either picked this story or she picked the story, something. So it wasn't any big surprise. Now, of course, Jimmy Fallon is good enough that he just sort of had a picture ready already, and so he brought out a picture of being on the Oscars, and he said, oh yeah, so here you're at the Oscars, you look beautiful, and oh yeah, well, let me tell you a story about that dress, as if it's off the cuff, but it's not. And so she told this fabulous story about this dress, about how that, you know, the curve on the side where she has a waist, she said, yeah, she said, you know, that's not natural. She said, that doesn't happen anymore when you're 45. She said, but they made that happen. And then she described how they made it happen, you know, with this corset with metal in it where they ratcheted her down and told her about the bodysuit that, you know, she had to wear underneath it. And when she was, hey, box from Amazon, I think I know what that is. And I parked too close and I can't get the box out. Maybe, nope, I got to back up, try this again. And how they ratcheted her down this thing, you know, sending some people, you know, so there's this image that she's painting of some kind of, you know, whatever. You know, so this is all fun. She's laughing. She's carrying on telling everybody about how this went and how that she's 4 hours into it and her ribs just start freaking out. And, I mean, you sit there and you listen to her and you get the impression, wow, this woman, she is like up for anything. She doesn't get perturbed at all. I mean, her ribs are all ratcheted down and 4 hours later they're spasming and she said, I gotta get up and go to the bathroom. And her friend is telling her, you can't get up now. They're giving out the Oscars. They're going to think you're doing like a Kanye West. And she said, we were laughing about that. And okay, so in the midst of all this pain and spasming and everything, she's laughing, supposedly, and carrying on, having a good time. Then she decides, you know, okay, that's it. There's a break. I have got to go to the bathroom. So she goes in, and of course now she's, you know, all ratcheted down, and she can't actually get to the bodysuit to unsnap it so that she can actually sit down and do anything because this big poofy dress is too big, and she can't. And so she's going on about how that she told her friend, she said, I don't think I can actually undo the snaps on the body of this bodysuit. And she's describing in detail how this bodysuit actually just has a thin thong-like strap, so it's like embedded itself, you know, in her lady parts. I mean, she's telling this whole story. And so how she tells her friend, and she says, you know, I think you're going to have to go in there and unsnap that. And her friend's like, oh, okay, the only way I'm doing that is if you can't do it. I mean, and she's smiling, and she's got this megawatt smile, and she's laughing, and she's carrying on. And I was just sitting there watching that, and I was thinking, okay. Now, obviously, she's been through a divorce. She has a new movie out, so she's got to put on the thing and do the thing. And I understand that, you know, there's two people in this marriage, and I'm sure that Ben Affleck kind of slumped as well over the last 10 years and didn't necessarily show his best side and didn't necessarily shine on her as much as he could have. But the fact of the matter is that no man, I just cannot believe a man who would be married to that Jennifer who was on Jimmy Fallon and bubbly, game for anything, laughing about her circumstances, can take the pain, is just gorgeous, megawatt smile. I have a hard time believing any man would walk away from that. I just can't believe it. So what that tells me is, like with all of us, there's not just one Jennifer Garner. There's multiple Jennifer Garners. And just like there's multiple Ben Afflecks. And before they got married, they were all on their best behavior and they were trying and they were, you know. It's like I was talking about 2 weeks ago when I talked about that. They were ignorant of the others that live within the other person, and even within the others that live within themselves, because they were trying, you know, to be on their best behavior. But of course, after you've been married for a while, then comes the revelation, and then comes the decision. And you got to decide, am I sticking this out and accepting this person for all the other people they are? You know, or am I deciding, no, I can do better? Yeah, well, good luck, Ben Affleck. Good luck. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.